morning. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry. I'm here with Celeste. We are hoping to have PJ Crowley on with us shortly. Celeste, it's been exactly a week since Hosni Mubarak stepped down from Egypt, and now we're looking at Bahrain as protests rage across the Middle East, Libya, Yemen, Bahrain. It's been quite a week, I mean, to say the least.
Well, it's been quite a month. I mean, you could reasonably say that this may have begun even in Sudan with the vote on independence for South Sudan, which will be our newest country coming up soon. You don't really know where it all began. Some of these protests are years going back.
No, and the history books will have to come up with the causality, the actual spark, if there is one, and there are probably many. Let's turn it around now on Patrick Farrell, New York Times reporter in Bahrain, with us right now. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
What was the latest? What did you see at Friday prayers in Manama?
Well, we went to a village where I'm told three of the people who were killed the other night when Pearl Square was cleared were from, and there was a really large crowd of people chanting anti-government slogans and taking the bodies to be buried. It was one of the larger of the protests I've seen since Pearl Square was cleared. But there was no police presence in the village, and afterwards people went to prayer. There was a somewhat politically charged speech coming from the mosque, but right now things are fairly cool-headed from my perspective.
Go ahead, Patrick. You're told.
I'm told that at about 4 o'clock our time, which is in about an hour, there will be more protests at the hospital, which has sort of become the stand-in spot for Pearl Square, since Pearl Square is more or less completely taken over by the police and the army at this point.
And sealed off with armor and barbed wire, from what we understand. Patrick Farrell from the New York Times. We had Nick Kristof, the columnist from. I'm sorry.
I haven't been close since I was there. Shortly after the square was cleared.
And, okay, well, what I want to ask you about it, Nick Kristof told us earlier this morning that he is hearing plans of a much larger protest, a march on Pearl Square planned maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, fears that could turn obviously violent because it would be a direct provocation against the security forces that have Pearl Square sealed off. Have you heard anything about those plans and what might be next?
That's exactly what I heard. I was with him when we were talking with some folks who are, I take it, organizers. I haven't heard whether that will happen tomorrow or the next day. It seems that it's probably fairly likely that there will be bigger protests. I don't know if they've decided for certain to march back onto Pearl Square, but it's certainly become a symbol of the political unrest here.
The speech in the mosque you heard today, you said it was politically charged. Was it politically charged directly against the king or more general than that? I'm trying to get a sense of what the attitude of the protest is right now, whether it's anti-monarchy or pro-democracy or a mixture of both.
I would say that it's pro-democracy. I mean, I've heard a lot of there's certainly a lot of sloganeering that's anti the ruling family, but I'm not an expert on the politics of Bahrain, so it's hard for me to say whether or not that's completely heartfelt across the board, or whether that's if those are just popular slogans at the moment because of general unhappiness with the situation. I've heard a lot from people that they. They don't want this to be a Shiite or Sunni split conversation, that this is about equality for everyone. But obviously most of the people who are in the street are Shia.
And is there a concern that one of the ways to defeat the protest is to drive that sectarian wedge through the population? It's worked in other places.
Yeah, and my understanding is that because so much of the population here is Shia, that I'm not sure that there's necessarily a pitting in the street, although my understanding is that most of the military, if not the entire military and the police force, are Sunni. So they're, I guess you could say that that's possibly where that kind of strife would occur.
And do people on the streets have any sense of what we would see from far, far away, granted, as the broader picture, the influence of Iran potentially behind Shia, other sort of, I guess you'd call them strategic interests there, or are people strictly focused on their own country, their own monarchy, and their own capital here?
I'm probably not in the best position to tell you that for certain, but it does seem like people are mostly concerned with things from a local perspective, and there's certainly been a lot of cues taken from the events in Tunisia and Egypt, but I think most people's concerns here have to do with the way that the monarchy and the ruling family run this country and what kinds of opportunities the people here have.
Patrick Farrell, I'm reading off of Twitter right now a tweet from Sultan Al-Qassami, who's been all over the protests in Bahrain. The tweet says, Bahrainis chanting, no Sunni, no Shia, we are all Bahraini. That's probably heartening for the moment.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot since I got here a couple of days ago. And as far as I can tell, that does seem to be the case. I mean, when we were in Pearl Square before, I was there probably around midnight, the night that the police cleared it, and there were some Sunni there, not a huge group, but there were some, and there did seem to be truly some cooperation across the board there.
Patrick Farrell, where are you headed next today?
I'm not certain. I may go back to my hotel and file some video, or we may go to the hospital to see what the situation there is like.
All right. Further developments expected, of course, and at the hospital, which has been the scene of protests and, at first, some violent clashes with security forces in Bahrain. Patrick Farrell, New York Times reporter in Manama, joining us from Bahrain. Thank you so much, Patrick.
My pleasure.
Celeste, everyone's keeping a close eye on this situation, to say the least. It is heartening, I have to say, if tweets are to be believed from on the ground, that protesters there are trying to keep it secular, drawing a sense of solidarity between protesters and not letting any kind of sectarian wedge get.
Well, don't fool yourself. The people of the Middle East are more aware than we are of the possibility for religious extremism to enter into any protest.
Well, let's hope they continue to avoid it.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.